Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. Our second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. That ends our lesson.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Sit back down, we have the video, I forgot.
I never was much of a talker. I came by it honest, neither was my daddy. Well, he got his mouth shut one time by a big old angel. I reckon that tend to make a fella careful. I got old enough, I left. I went out in the desert so I could think about it all. You know, the morning I left, my daddy, he walked me down to the river. He handed me this note. He said these were some of the words he said over me when I was a baby, when he got his voice back. He told me to chew on them. You, my boy, are going to go ahead of the Lord and get everybody ready for him. You're going to tell him that they can have their sins forgiven. Tell him that God's kindness is going to shine on them like the rising sun. I did it. I chewed on them, these words, for a long time. And then these words, they started chewing on me. And I felt this weight on me. So I went back to the river, and I opened up my mouth, and the words just started pouring out of them like a swarm of bees. I heard myself fussing at the religious people telling everybody to get straight with God and get baptized. I tell you the truth, I wasn't even sure what I was saying, but I just kept talking and baptizing all the time with that weight on me. And then one morning, I look up, and there's this fella. He's walking toward me, and I heard myself saying, real quiet, almost under my breath, there he is. That's the Lamb of God. He's going to take away all our sins. He walked right up to me. I saw then it was my cousin. It was Jesus. I hadn't seen him in years. He told me to baptize him. I did it. And we're standing next to each other in the river, and he's dripping wet. And I swear, I heard this voice like it's coming out the clouds saying, that's my boy. And I am pleased with him. Isn't that something? I could not take my eyes off of him. He was shining. He's shining, I'll tell you, like the rising sun. And I felt that weight go off of me then, because I knew I had done my job. I had I had gone ahead of him. None of this was about me. Well, it never was. It was all about him. Well, still is.
I love it, Monica. I found this video series. They just happen to have installments for each of the things you're preaching during Advent. And, you know, the common theme to this, I mean, this one, just a common man, sort of, but not, John the Baptist. And we're all common people, but God's going to use us for various things. And I love that video. That's great. Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 57 through 80. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Then the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to take off this time for children's church? Feel free. Lord, we thank you for your word. Where would we be without it? The comfort, the reassurance, the guidance, everything else that you do through it, your living word. Amen. The what? I didn't catch the first part of what that was referring to. Oh, okay. Yeah, was Zechariah going to contradict his wife in the naming of the child? There we go. Yeah. Well, Gabriel has a little say in that too, of course. So, yeah. All righty. So we've been working through the events leading up to the birth of Christ. There's four events in the Gospels leading up to the birth. We had the angel Gabriel appearing to Zechariah. Then Gabriel appeared to Mary. And then Joseph had a visit from an angel in a dream. We don't know which angel it was. And then John the Baptist is born. Then after that, we have Jesus coming into the world, which we'll celebrate on Wednesday, right? Wednesday. Okay. These are the things that are happening leading up to it. And Advent is a leading up to Christmas, a leading up to the coming of Jesus, and also a leading up to his coming again, which is happening. We don't know when, the day or the hour, but it's going to happen, no doubt about it. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious. So today, Zechariah, of course, had heard from the angel Gabriel. He knew what to name the child. He knew some details, not the whole story yet. We'd also heard from Elizabeth when Mary visited her, and today Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to have their son, John the Baptist, the one who's going to go and prepare the way for the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, as prophesied. So it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby. And she gave birth to a son, which was no surprise, of course, to Zechariah. He knew it was going to be a son. He even knew the name in advance, all that. But it was still a joy. It's a time of joy when a child is born. It's an incredible time of joy. And the neighbors, it says, shared her joy. They all came around to celebrate with her and him, of course. And then the eighth day comes around where in Jewish tradition they have to circumcise the child. We got to keep up with the covenant. And this was done on the eighth day. It was all laid out how things are to be done. And on this day they would also name him. Zechariah at this time is still unable to speak. The angel told him he would be mute until the child was born. Okay, the child's born, but this is 8 days later. But it's about to change here, of course. Everything's about to change. So they're ready to name him, and they're going to call him Zechariah after his dad. Little junior, huh? Yeah. And Elizabeth spoke up and said, no, his name is to be John. I said, no, wait, there's nobody in your family history that's named John. We got to name him after someone in our family history. You're going to honor the ancestors, etc. And she was adamant, it's going to be John. How did she know this? Well, she had been filled with the Holy Spirit when Mary visited, and maybe the Holy Spirit revealed it to her. Or maybe over the last 9 months, John or Zechariah, knowing that it had to be named John, had somehow communicated it to her. He was, of course, unable to speak. He could write, clearly, but could she read? We don't know. At that time, there's a good chance that she could not. Only the boys were educated, and mostly just up until eighth grade or so, although Zechariah, being a priest, had further education. But somehow, she knew it was to be John. So they made signs to the father to find out what he would like to name the child. Them making signs to him suggests that he was not only mute, but he was deaf as well. And then he asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment wrote, his name is John. Okay. At this point, immediately his mouth was opened. As soon as he wrote that, he had fulfilled that prophecy, speech was given back to him. Wow, he's been quiet for 9 months. He's got a lot to probably say. So what is he going to say first? And this is the cool part. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. The first thing he did when he regained his voice was to praise God. I love that. Priorities. There's so much. He was waiting to tell people this whole story about the angel Gabriel and what had happened, this incredible encounter that he had. And you think that'll be high on the list. There's other things maybe that he wanted to communicate. But the first thing he does is to praise God. Wow. May we have that priority as well. You know, God first in all things. Always. Always. So all the neighbors are filled with awe. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. It was the talk of the town for sure. Zechariah can speak again. The boy's name is John. And so they knew there was something special. They're asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. Well, when Zechariah was able to speak, then he could tell the rest of the story, perhaps, about his encounter with Gabriel and what was foretold and prophesied. But he goes on here, and he does prophesy. It says that his father Zechariah now was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. If someone is going to prophesy, they have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can't just start saying words of what we think is going to happen, what we think is true. If it's prophecy, it doesn't come from us, it comes through us. The Holy Spirit speaking through the prophets in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit still speaking through people today. Every once in a while, someone will get a word from the Lord. If you get that, share it with others, especially if it's meant for them. It may only be meant for certain people. You get a word for a certain person or a group of people, share it with them. Because it's serious. God still does this today. So he starts to prophesy. The first thing again, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, God first, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. Indeed, Jesus was coming who would redeem us, who would make it possible for us to stand before God. Someday we will. Of course, everybody's going to be standing before him someday, the last judgment. He'll be sorted out, some to his right hand, and others not. But we can stand there with confidence, even though we're sinners, again, because of what Jesus has done. We can't be good enough ourselves. There's no way you can earn your way into heaven. You can do every good possible thing. No, we're still sinners. And there's only one way we can be made right with God, and that is through Jesus. Because he took that sin and just cleared it away. It no longer exists because of what Jesus did, his sacrifice on the cross. And he continues on and prophesies a number of things here. And then he starts talking about John the Baptist, his child that was just born. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. Indeed he would. For you'll go on before the Lord, prepare the way for him. Yes, about 30 years later, John the Baptist can be by the Jordan River, baptizing people for repentance and preparing the way for the Lord. Preparing the people in their hearts through repentance. By turning away from their sin and turning back to God through repentance to encounter Jesus. Preparing the way for him. We're going to hear that here again. So he had to have been overjoyed then. Of course, he's overjoyed that he's got a son finally after years of waiting. But now he knows there's something special about him. The Holy Spirit's revealed that to him. Going to prepare the way for the one who would give the people the knowledge of salvation, the forgiveness of their sins. Again, only what Jesus could do. Alrighty, so he continues his prophecy, and then he ends it, and then the next verse that Luke records here is that the child grew and became strong in spirit and lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Similar to Jesus, right? The child became strong and grew in stature and wisdom. And we hit the gap years. So John the Baptist, he had been born now, had been prophesied what he's going to do, and there's this big gap in biblical history. We don't know what happened. We know he was going to go live in the desert. Well, at what age? I would imagine he probably had to be like old enough to survive on his own in the desert. He probably went through what every Jewish boy did at that time, being taught the basics of education up through about the eighth grade or so. And then following his calling, that he would go out and live in the wilderness until it was time for him to come and prepare that way for Jesus. That time in the wilderness, I like being outdoors, okay? And some people, can hear better from God out in the woods than anywhere else. And, yeah, he's out in the wilderness, no distractions, just him and God, listening, learning. And like that video we saw, he was reading that scroll that his dad gave him. He said, I started to chew on these words, and then the words started to chew on me. I love that line in that video. The words started to speak to him. And he was thinking on them, he was meditating on them, and God was revealing himself to him. In this time in the desert, in the wilderness. Some people see the wilderness as a less than desirable place, but there's something about it, being out in the wild. Again, no distractions, just being there with God. I love it. Well, all this had been prophesied, of course, earlier, because God is all about fulfilling prophecy. These prophecies here are being fulfilled, have been fulfilled, and will be fulfilled. It's a mixture. But we had the one from Isaiah there that we had heard. Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. Israel is going through a tough time here. It's about 700 years before Jesus. They're in captivity. But there's the spark of hope. We get this prophecy starting in verse 3. Isaiah, a great prophet, one of the major ones for sure. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Yes, speaking about what John the Baptist would do, preparing the way for the Lord, to make a way, to make straight in the desert a highway for our God, a highway where travel is easier, right? You know, you can get somewhere on a gravel road, but you can't go real fast, safely. But once I get on the highway, my motorcycle just, that throttle opens up, and I've got this clear path, all right? And it's beautiful. And I can get up to the speed limit quickly. There we go. Okay. Every valley raised up and every hill and mountain made low. When you look at where they've built railroads, if you drive, say, from here up to Kensington, you go along that road, you see places where it's bridging gaps where they had to build bridges, other places where they had to fill in low spots, they had to level off the high spots, and this was done using horses back in the day. It's quite incredible. And to make this grade and to make it strong enough that it will maintain, that it won't start to warp over time, to walk on these highways, it's a whole lot more efficient than these railroad tracks. So every valley being raised up, the low spots filled in, the mountains and the hills being made low, just nice level grade. The rough ground become level, the rugged places a plain. So these are the things that John the Baptist is doing. Now this is figurative, perhaps. Well, obviously it is. He's preparing a highway, but he's not out there with a bulldozer. He's removing obstacles so people can encounter Jesus. And that leads me to ask myself, what obstacles do I need to remove, you know, within? What's hindering my relationship with Jesus? What are some of the high spots that are tough to get over, the low spots that need to be filled in, the rough spots? How can I prepare myself? What obstacles can I remove? I know Pastor Becky used to talk about cleaning house for Jesus or something if he's coming over. And yeah, we need to clean up a few things, you know. What have I put down in my basement? What's still in the dark corners within me? What have I put in the closet to hide? All these things that need to be cleaned out when I meet Jesus. In preparation for meeting him. John the Baptist was removing these obstacles through repentance, and that's a great way. A repentance is turning back to the Lord, realizing I'm going down the wrong path, confessing it, and then turning back, repenting. It's that about face. It's that turning back to God. And that's what John the Baptist was doing. He was baptizing people for repentance. He was showing them their sin, pointing it out, or else leading them to realize it in themselves, I guess, because if you go around pointing out other people's sins, that's not always well received, okay? It's not. Sometimes it's necessary. We have to speak up. If we see people especially misleading others, we have to take action. We have to speak up in a loving way to get back on track. So yes, we have to be that voice as well. We have to be a voice, you know, preparing people for Jesus, but also a voice that will speak truth, especially in today's day and age. We have to speak truth. We have to be that example, live truth, and lead others to truth. You know, again, in that loving way, we're not going to force them. We're not going to yell at them to do it. We're going to just guide them into truth, into all truth, and that's Jesus. For he is coming again. And a way has to be prepared. There was a preparation for his first coming, but there's a preparation for his second coming as well. And that's got to be within us and also around us. We prepare this world. We go there for and preach it. We inform others. We tell them about it, again, in a loving way, not just pointing out their sins, which isn't going to get you very far, typically. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Okay, so John the Baptist did this. He prepared that way in the desert. As was prophesied, he's out in the middle of nowhere by the Jordan River. People start coming to him. He starts talking to maybe to a small group. Word spreads quickly. It's a small town, okay? It's a small area. Word spreads quickly. They didn't have the internet or anything back then, but as you all know, something happens in Starbucks or whatever, word can spread very, very quickly, right? And that's what's happening here. And the good word is spreading. People are coming to see this strange person in the desert, with clothed in camel's hair, eating locusts and wild honey, and shouting all these things that are actually convicting them, making them think. and he's preparing them for the coming of Jesus, which does happen, of course. We'll save that for another sermon. So John the Baptist did his part. He prepared people. That was one of his roles. Now, he did other things as well, of course. He would go on to convict King Herod and die as a result of it. King Herod had married his sister-in-law, which was not, of course, right. John called him on it, ended up losing his head over it. It's all in the Bible. You've read it before. You can read it again. So he did many things. He was a voice in the desert, a thorn in Herod's side, and his legacy lived on. And that's what we heard in Acts today. Paul's on his third missionary journey. He took three of them there. This one's happening between 53 and 57 AD. So we're about 26 years after Jesus had died on the cross and was resurrected again, of course. And Paul's out there preaching the good news. He arrived at Ephesus along the Mediterranean there, present-day Turkey. Found some disciples, some followers of the way, and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Now, these people heard about Jesus. These people were following him to the best of their understanding, but they had not heard of the Holy Spirit. They answered, "No, we have not even heard there is a Holy Spirit." Their faith is strong, but it's not complete. They're missing an important part. Again, they're doing the best with what they've heard. They've heard about Jesus. They're following in his way, but they're about to level up. They're about to receive the Holy Spirit to get more of a complete picture. So Paul asked them, "What baptism did you receive?" They replied, "John's baptism." So here, 20-some years after his death, John's legacy continues. His influence continues. People, what he did in the desert by the Jordan River, people are still carrying on. They're still baptizing for repentance. It's still happening. And that's pretty cool. John had no idea this was going to happen, that after he's gone, his legacy would live on. And it does. So they said John's baptism. And Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Indeed it was. Turning people back to God, preparing them for the coming of the Messiah. That was his mission. He did it well. He had been prepared his whole life for it. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him. That is Jesus, of course. On hearing this, they are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. Again, they leveled up. Everything changed. So they've been baptized for repentance. But Jesus tells us to baptize, to go therefore and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Great commission from Matthew 28. But what follows as well, there's a part B, right? Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So not only to baptize others, but to teach them about it, about Jesus. Well, the Father and the Holy Spirit, of course, the complete picture. These guys, their lives are changed. A whole new dimension opened up now when they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus didn't baptize anybody that we know of. It's not recorded that Jesus baptized anybody. He was baptized by John the Baptist for repentance. But then Jesus tells us to go forth and baptize, not just for repentance, but with the Father, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of. It's sort of like when someone says stop in the name of the law, they're saying stop by the authority of, right? Baptize them in the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's going to be an equipping that they can go on and do great things, that they can hear from God, that they can bring it to others, and they can baptize as well. And instructing them, right? Teaching them about this great truth that we've been given. The love of God and all that it makes possible. Jesus said, it was said that he would come and baptize the Holy Spirit with fire. So John the Baptist said, "Okay, I baptize you with water of repentance, but one is coming who is greater than me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit with fire." So when we're baptized with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, again, that Holy Spirit is awakened within us in a way. And makes all kinds of things possible. That hearing from God, that close personal connection, that relationship with him, because Jesus left his Holy Spirit with us, that we would still have this connection to God and the connection wherever we go, you know, our own personal Jesus, basically this Holy Spirit that dwells within us as believers. What an incredible gift. These 12 men now had that. They started to prophesy. They started to spread the good news. Some of the obstacles in their lives have been removed. And now they could prepare the way for others so that hope could spread to others. There's people out there that don't have hope. And we have the task of bringing them hope, to tell them the good news of Jesus, that they may be saved as well. So, Lord, we ask that similarly you would remove the obstacles in our lives, Lord, whatever is hindering us from that strong connection with you, whatever is hindering us from that complete picture and that connection with you. We ask, Lord, that you baptize us anew with the Holy Spirit with fire, Lord, that we can hear from you directly and that we are just on fire for you, that you come first in our lives. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to prepare the way this Advent and every day. Prepare the way within us and around us. In Jesus' name, amen.